Hear the extraordinary secrets of how to thrive in a disrupted world.
The old rules of management are not really correct anymore.
So what works?
Making a wise pivot.
Pivot to the future with Will.i.am and Omar Abbosh. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. The arrival of Generation Z in the workplace, those are workers turning 21, means that in some places there are five generations of workers under one roof. In a moment, we'll hear from a human resources executive on the challenges that poses to employers. First, some money and market news you should know. The Wall Street Journal Markets team spotlights big banks offering incentives to customers who open checking accounts. Total interest expense at U.S. banks rose 70% from the first quarter of 2018 to the first quarter of this year. So instead of raising interest rates on checking accounts, which cost the banks money, banks like Citigroup keep the rates relatively low and offer perks like reimbursement for a customer's Hulu or Amazon Prime account. Other banks, like the Seattle area's Washington Federal, offer identity fraud and cell phone insurance. See the full story on WSJ.com or the WSJ app. And you might need to take a break from ordering meals with tortillas at Taco Bell. Turns out the fast food chain's outlets in various cities around the country are running short, and everything from burritos to quesadillas is affected. Taco Bell says it's working to address the shortages and suggests that customers try other menu items such as the Power Menu Bowl or Cheesy Gordita Crunch. Heard on the Street also points out this should not be confused with a storyline in the 2006 film Idiocracy, where the U.S. faces crop failures and a shortage of what is described in the movie as burrito coverings because crops were watered with sports drinks.
Hear the extraordinary secrets of how to thrive in a disrupted world.
The old rules of management are not really correct anymore.
So what works?
Making a wise pivot.
Pivot to the future with Will.i.am and Omar Abbosh. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
The first wave of Generation Z has entered the workforce, and that means there could be five generations working together. It also means someone at a college could be supervising someone old enough to be their parent. So how does this impact the ecology of a company as compared to years past? Or does it? Let's bring in expert HR legal editor Robert Teachout. He's on the line with us to fill in some details. So, Robert, by Generation Z, we're not talking about millennials, but rather 60 million people born after 1996. Is this a particularly large cluster of people entering the workforce at one time?
Not yet. They're just graduating high school and college. So they're coming in. They're one of the smaller segments at this point, millennials being the largest. But they are going to be the ones that are coming in steadily.
Can you take me through the five generations that could be working at a company at one time?
Sure. We'll just start. We'll go from oldest to youngest. And you start with the traditionalists. These are the people, the generation that preceded the baby boomers. And they're more hierarchical. They've got the loyalty. And they're a heck of a lot older. They're up in their late 60s, early 70s and 80s. And they're still there because, frankly, people live longer, they're healthier, they're able to. To some extent, there might even be some that came back into the workforce because of the Great Recession and they needed to bolster their income. And then there's the baby boomers, which everyone is familiar with. A demographer I know once said it was a ridiculously 20-year-long celebration of the end of World War II. And everyone's very familiar with that group. Then you have Generation X, which is kind of a sandwich generation. They're the ones that are currently in the workplace. They're probably raising kids, maybe helping raise grandkids. But at the same time, they're likely to be helping their elderly parents as well. Then you have the millennials, the Generation Y, whatever you want to call them. Millennials is the one that picked up the steam. And now we have the newcomers, the Generation Z. The Pew Research, I rely on them as far as the year. Beginning in 1997 is where Pew Research Center is starting to count that generation. And they're the ones that came of age, smartphones, the Internet of Things, and they're going to be a fun group to watch.
Well, what are some of the best practices an employer should have in mind if they have a multi-generational workforce to manage?
I will give the number one advice: manage the person, not the stereotype, because a stereotype is just that. When we're talking Generation Z, baby boomer, millennials, whatever. It's a trend. It's a large group. There's a lot of factors there. But then again, there's the hashtag not me. Not all millennials are short attention span. Not all Generation Z will necessarily always be wanting to connect on their phone. Not all baby boomers are adverse to new technology. So the stereotypes can give us some guidance, some things to look for to help plan. But always, always, always in HR and in management, you want to manage the person. What are their needs? How do you help them grow? How do you help them succeed? How do you integrate them into your team? That's the biggest piece of advice. And then you can look for these strengths and these trends to create a multi-generational team where you're able to leverage all the strengths and support the different weaknesses.
Now, job satisfaction is, of course, important to all generations, but you've mentioned different generations address job satisfaction in different ways.
Part of it is just where they are in their life. Baby boomers are looking at retirement or hoping to retire, and they may be more conscious about the financial security aspects. You know, their pension, is their 401k strong? Any bonuses? Planning for retirement to make sure that they don't outlive their retirement income. Whereas you have Generation Z just now starting, they're thinking getting learning experiences, getting skills, getting connected, starting on the career path. And like every young group coming in, they're not thinking about their life insurance and retirement, because I know I certainly thought I was going to live forever back at that stage. Or, gosh, my income's so tight, I don't have time to set aside this, even though it would have been the smarter thing to do. And then you have the ones who are in the middle who are balancing life and kids, and maybe they're have medical needs, support needs, where an employment assistance program, an EAP, would be very, very beneficial. So you're looking at all the different things. And of course, the millennials who are strapped with massive amounts of student debt.
Okay. And it is Generation Z that is really the pivotal segment here that is creating this unique situation. And in terms of members of Generation Z, essentially those born after 1996 or 1997, what is it about that segment, the characteristics of that segment of the population as employees that employers should have in mind as they come through the door?
When you look at the profile of Generation Z, it even makes me drool. Like, oh my gosh, can we get these? Even more so than the millennials who grew up with the computers. Generation Z grew up with the internet always, with iPhones ever since the oldest ones were 10. They've always been connected. They're into real-time collaboration. And it's across borders and boundaries. They don't care. They'll collaborate with someone across the ocean, across the room, sitting next to them onto a couch, with real time, real data, making decisions. At the same time, just like millennials, very, very passionate about a cause, about a good, solid mission, and very goal-oriented. So when someone hires a Generation Z, they're going to see someone who works well in a team, collaborating, able to access real-time data and integrate it with a high focus on achieving the goals. That to me, that's like, oh my gosh, who would not want to hire these people?
And then Generation X, which are people largely in their 40s and their 50s, you do mention that they have a good dose of self-sufficiency because of their background. And employers
right.
should really respect that.
I'm kind of very, very tail end of baby boomers and really identify more with the Generation X. And, you know, I want to know, okay, here's the goal. Here's the project. You're trusting me to get it done. Get out of my way and let me do it. Don't straddle me with a bunch of committees. Don't micromanage me. I mean, that drives me nuts. If I screw up or I've got a mistake, okay, let's talk. Point me back in and then throw me back out and let me get it. Whereas how we taught the millennials was they were taught to work in teams and to collaborate and to get a lot of feedback, you know, almost to the point where, you know, people were making fun of it. But in today's modern connected workplace, it was a better way to do it. But you can put like maybe a Generation X to be kind of set the goalposts, move, give them the topic, let them go, and have a Generation Z or a millennial working with them who can help connect and keep the communications open between other team members. And so you get the best of both worlds. Again, it's just how everyone grew up. Generation X's, there were a lot of divorces. They were latchkey kids, things like that. Millennials were the ones that were get out on sports, get participate, Generation Z, the constant connection through any device whatsoever. And it can all work together to an employer's benefit if they're smart about it.
And in a tight labor market like we have right now, where many employers are struggling to find people to fill slots, having the knowledge and understanding the values and the attributes of these various age groups and people with various levels of experience in the world, workforce and otherwise, I would imagine that for an employer, knowledge is power.
It is, and especially if you use it correctly. You're going to have a huge problem with the demographics, because you have the older workers who have the knowledge, who have the soft skills, who have the political savvy, and they are already in their leadership and getting ready to go. And you have a succession that you need to plan for. But millennials and Generation Z, they're not ladder climbers. They're lattice climbers or lateral movers, and they're looking, what can I learn now? What can I learn next? How do I progress next? And they'll stay maybe a couple of years, 2-3 years. It's really hard to plan for successions on a 5, 10, 15-year basis when you're seeing key people and they're leaving to go somewhere else. So employers need to be thinking, how do I help transfer the knowledge from the older workers to the younger ones? And provide them opportunities in the path where they can see they're still excited to keep working for me and be retained till I can get them up to a leadership position and start using their innovation to bring along other people and move the company forward.
All right. That's expert HR legal editor Robert Teachout joining us on the line. Robert, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting me, JR. It's been great.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.